Good evening. I'm Jeff Bryant. This is the Jeff Bryant Show. Before I get into this, I would like to mention if anybody out there has a deep booming voice, can play a ukulele or some other cool instrument, maybe a recorder, and would like to help record an intro jingle for this show, I would be down. I'd be so down. I was told there would be a jingle. I would like a jingle now. Seriously, if you guys want to end this 30-second thing where I'm awkward about introing my show and myself, let's get a jingle. And I think a deep booming voice, and personally, I believe a ukulele would solve this. Just go right into the show. So with that, let's go into this. There's so much to talk about with the election. Really, it's not my favorite thing to talk about because, as I mentioned earlier, right before the election, the night of the election, I don't think it matters that much. And it's not to say that the president doesn't matter and who's in Congress doesn't matter. Hell, maybe one day I'll run. I'm very much kidding. I just think there's so much more that goes on in a person's life day to day that matters a whole hell of a lot more than who the president is. And the way we hang our hat on this is kind of something more victimhood in my mind. It's more victim based. It's saying, hey, look, this is why I can or can't succeed in this world. Look, I know if things get really bad on the political side and this country starts to fall apart, that will be a reason we can or can't succeed. But generally speaking, since I've been a child till now, since I've kind of paid attention to politics in any way, shape, or form, nothing's really happened to change my life, nor anybody else around me's life, nor anybody I've met's life. It just kind of keeps moving. And what matters more to me is what I ate that day. I mean, I'm not talking that day. Like, let me just put it this way. I have more control over my life based on diet, how much I exercise, how much I drink, how much I work, where I work, how much creativity I put in around work, how I treat my family, how I treat my friends. There's literally a bazillion other variables that go in, not literally, there's a bunch of other variables that go into a happy person's life that come way before who the president is or who your senator is or who's in the House or any of this shit. So let's start there. Side note, I was told because I am a white male that I'm not allowed to say that and that I don't understand what the president's impact is on other, I guess, women, minorities, blah, blah, blah. Bullshit. First of all, you just used racism to discount my idea. You just told me because I'm white and a male. That's racist and sexist. Therefore, you will discount my idea. Again, racist, sexist. Second of all, I was not trying to say there is no way the president can impact your life. I'm just saying, by and large, most people's lives are not impacted by the president. And if they are impacted, there's a lot of other things that happen in their life that if they were to maybe put the attention there, would matter a lot more before whatever's happening in Washington. That's just always been the case. And we pretend as though, you know, we overdo the outlay of energy toward politics, a large number of us do anyway, and it just doesn't make sense. Like, there's just so much else that is worth putting your time, your energy, and your emotions to, that this outlay of energy and this attachment to, oh my God, Trump's going to be president again, or oh my God, Biden's going to be president. First of all, Trump's not going to take away your rights. He's not a fascist. On the flip side, Biden's not going to turn this into the USSR. I promise. It's not going to happen. We in fact know that because we've already endured 8 years of Biden and 4 years of Trump. So tell me how I'm wrong. It's not going to happen. Life will go on. Either way, life will go on. So I think it's most important we open the podcast with that because that is really where I'm coming from. I don't, like I said, I never thought I'd have a politics-aimed podcast or podcast around politics. There we go. That's a better way to put it. I never thought this would be a thing I even try. And here I am, like ranting about politics and blah, blah, blah. Not because I like them, but because they are really impactful to our nation's, for lack of a better word, energy. You know, it's like pulling us apart from an angle that's more on a community basis. And that matters a lot more to me than whatever the policy is that probably won't get evoked in the first place. Well, probably won't even happen. So let's just all remember that. Now, because it is election time and because I have followed this pretty closely, sure, let's get into the politics for this show. I would really like to start getting into other stuff I like a lot more. Hell, I had a concussion on Saturday. It's a bummer, but it's something I know a lot about. And I'd like to even do a podcast about that. I'd rather talk about hitting my head, quite literally, than talk about politics more. Yet here we are. So that rant aside, what is going to happen? Biden's going to win the election. The House will be controlled by Democrats, and the Senate will be controlled by Republicans. That seems to be the nature or the likely outcome. And what that means to me is gridlock, and I like that. Here's why I like it. I don't like Trump and I don't like Biden. I like Biden slightly more than I like Trump, and this was after a lot of consideration. But I don't want him to be able to go willy-nilly and change policy as he sees fit. So having the Senate be able to block a lot of what he's going to try to do, awesome. Love it. Honestly, Wall Street loves it too, which I'm surprised about. Basically, nothing is going to get done. And this kind of this congressional split, liberal president environment kind of bodes well for just business as usual. You know, it's just kind of like a maybe a muted presidency, which is really what I want right now. So that's kind of the good part. The bad part is I do not like the closeness of the election in terms of what Trump is trying to kind of imply. He's kind of saying, hey, look, this election was not legitimate. That's bad, in my opinion, because it's going to push more people, this time on the right, toward the extremes. It's going to make more people not trust the system. I don't want that. My goal of this podcast, or my message here, one of my values, I believe this country is better when we are united. You know, this is why I hate the woke left. That's why it's ironic that I want Biden to be president right now. I just think he's slightly less damaging to the country than Trump. Not that he's good for the country. I think they both friggin' suck. And I hope we can get through the next 4 years and completely reorient. We always say this, like, next time it'll be better. I pray to God it will be. I also pray to God this podcast is way bigger, or I'm on to something much, much, much better in my life on a career basis around, you know, storytelling and getting to talking to him. I really enjoy this, but I would like to get better at it and hopefully have something much bigger at that point in my life. My narcissism aside, one other big thing I wanted to touch on here is the closeness, as like I said, it's bad because of what it might imply to a group of people on the right, that it was not legitimate and blah, blah, blah. Trump saying the closeness itself, I'm loving, because it shows, despite this incredibly far lean to the left in our media and the willingness not to report a lot of the stuff on the right and not give a fair shakedown to what's really happening in this country, people look through that. And that gave me a lot of confidence that, you know, maybe there are more people like me that are in the middle and that are, you know, they have values in one place and values in another place, and they're not easily put into one bucket or the other. You know, Trump picked up more of the minority vote than any Republican candidate has picked up since like 1950 something. That's incredible. That a man that has been labeled a racist and, you know, one of the worst people to ever sit as the president was able to pick up the minority vote. I am blown away by that fact that he was able to not pick up all the majority of them, saying he picked up more of it than any other Republican candidate since then. So that's good. I think this bodes well for my push away from this D'Angelo anti-racism BS that the, you know, a bunch of woke women in Brooklyn are perpetuating. I think that is finally starting to end its reign of terror. I think the pendulum is swinging the other direction. That gives me a lot of hope that we can have real conversations where common sense can prevail, and we can stop kind of this academia-based social studies circle jerk on the peer review side. Like, this is half the problem, is all these ideas. For those that don't know, let me break down the wokeness for you. It's basically a set of values or an ideology that's more akin to a religion, largely baked up in academia, largely because those places of academia are so far left-leaning, meaning there are so few conservative professors at the college level right now, that a lot of these, I'd call them like JV classes, courses, studies, what, I don't even know. They're not, I'm not going to call it science because it's not. Like, let's just pick one, gender studies. It's like, okay, how's this work? Well, you can like propose a hypothesis in gender studies, and who's going to review it? Well, your peers who are just as woke, just as I can't use the word in while I'm trying to describe this, just as much subscribing to your ideology are going to review it, and they're going to say it's good. So there's never really any sort of critical review because we're talking to people that all have the same sort of belief around, for instance, what is a male and what is a female. And therefore, we end up with this perverse definition And that somehow gets out into the wild, and, you know, college educated people believe, you know, they're recently out of college, then go forward with this in their life, and they now believe this to be a truth that is far from a truth. And, you know, it's somehow supposed to make society better, but it really doesn't. It's not based in reality. And we end up in this situation where you've got a bunch of people that are the most understanding people that have ever walked the planet. And now they are willing to tell everybody how to live their lives effectively. I mean, I'm really breaking this or making this overly simple. It goes much further. But, you know, as a friend told me yesterday, it seems to be based in victimhood. A lot of the wokeness seems to be based in victimhood. So the idea is, let's say you're white, and, you know, one part of wokeness is to say that you can't just be not a racist, you have to be anti-racist. In order to be anti-racist, you have to say you're a racist because you're white, just by being born white. That's the way it works. So you're literally having to say you're racist. Now, because you were born white and a racist, you are a victim. It's freaking nuts. And if your head hurts, mine does too. I want to move as far away from this craziness as we possibly can. I want to believe yet again, as I always have, that racism is this idea that you are going to discount somebody's ideas, you're going to discount somebody's actions based on the color of their skin. That is racism. Not, I'm white, therefore I must be racist. That is not racism. That is being white. I want race in this country, as Sam Harris put it, to be akin to hair color. It just doesn't matter. That's what I want. You know. Now, I'm not saying there aren't problems in certain racial groups in this country. I'm not saying that the federal government didn't push those along. I'm not saying this country's history doesn't have problems. It most certainly does. But that's not what the country is all about now. In fact, this country is the least racist country that has ever been in existence of this size. There's never been a less racist country of this size on this planet, ever. Like, again, this goes back to history. Like, you can't compare things to utopia. You have to compare things to what was. And we have to see, well, what's the trend line looking like? Oddly, it seems like wokeness is bringing racism back in a way, which is fucking nuts. Okay, so that's my really loose definition of wokeness. Maybe I'll do a much, like, I'll write this one down first. Again, if I had time, I could do a little more research. And then we'll get into that in a different show. The point is, I think wokeness is dying. This lack of common sense, religious-ish ideology is starting to fade a little bit. And people are going, wait a minute. If a bunch of black people, a bunch of people of color voted for Trump, and we were told that anybody that votes for Trump is a racist. Well, what does that mean? You know, like, your rhetoric didn't work. It didn't work. So that's encouraging. It's encouraging to me to see that this country is far more, far, just frankly, smarter, willing to, like, look past the headlines. That's what I'm thinking anyway. I could be wrong, but, you know, it should have been a landslide victory for Biden. It wasn't. And I'm encouraged by that. I'm also encouraged by the lack of rioting. You know, it doesn't seem like any of that came to fruition. You know, I'm seeing headlines right now that Trump, you know, he says after the litigation, if whatever the vote tally is, and he's going to leave office amicably. That's great. I wanted to see that. You know, whatever happens, happens, and that's what I really, you know, was hoping for. There's some thoughts that maybe he'll come back in 2024. I highly doubt that. I think this man wants to go chill on a beach, on a golf course, and say, I was president once. And he also wants to be like, and I think the vote was wrong, and I could have done it again. That's not how he sounds, but you get what I'm saying. He, you know, he hates losing, and I think he lost. So, let's see here. I also want to talk about COVID-19 a little bit because the case count is moving up, as I predicted, pre-Halloween. We hit a record yesterday, over 100,000. I don't know what today's numbers look like. I only assume they're worse. And I saw some kind of butthurt Republicans ranting and raving about, you know, this is a socialist country now that Joey B's in power and blah, blah, blah. First of all, we all know that's not really going to happen. And B, your local community saying, hey, let's all wear masks and limit gatherings is not a taking away of your social, or I'm sorry, your God-given liberty. That's not how this works. That is no more a taking away of your liberty than a lot of the things we've done around wartime. Or gasp, in 1918, the last time we had a pandemic. Mask wearing was mandated, for instance, in San Francisco when things got bad. And guess what? There were anti-maskers even then. But guess what? From 1918 to now, the only thing that changed was the spittoon went away. That was the big change before and after the pandemic. It wasn't like all of a sudden the government was always like, oh wait, we can mask them up again, make a mask, it'll be funny, like make them wear masks again, this will be great. No, government doesn't want to do that. They don't want to lock down the economy for fun. This isn't like a big scheme against your liberties. Like what kind of crazy Jason Bourne-ish movies have you been watching? This does not work that way. Like right now, we need to manage this thing for 3 more months, 4 more months. I think the wave will subside at that point regardless. And I think a vaccine is on the horizon soon. And by the way, I take this thing pretty seriously. That being said, like I'm not suggesting full-scale lockdowns unless it's absolutely necessary. I think you lock down if a hospital in your area is becoming overwhelmed. And it can't, one thing people need to realize, you can't just lock down when things get bad. You have to be watching a trend. It's like driving a car where you turn the wheel left and like a mile down the road, it turns left. You have to be really thinking in you know, the future. You can't, these controls are really, really slow to take effect. So yeah, a little bit of some consideration around the ramping up of the virus makes a whole hell of a lot of sense to me right now. We're going into colder months. It's getting worse, like exponentially worse. Like we're well past what happened in March and April and anytime in the summer. And yes, we understand it better, but that does not mean our hospitals can't get overwhelmed. And by the way, more people have died from this than most, I think, any war we've ever fought. Like, yeah, oh, they had pre-existing conditions. That does not mean they're not Americans and that they didn't have like lives worth living. Like this is a bullshit sentiment that a lot of people have, is like, well, they were weak, thin the herd. What do you mean? It's not how it works. Like, you know, many people in my life that I love have pre-existing conditions. I'm sure you do too. Like take a step back and think, you're not this almighty Herculean person that can, you know, weather any storm. Like, let's try to get through this with the least amount of life lost and the least economic impact that is plausible for this country. So, I have a lot of thoughts around how to do that. But right now, we got to take this thing friggin' seriously, because we're going into a time where we just don't have a lot of options. So, like, whatever we can do, like maybe skip the bar right now. Maybe if the gym's busy, go to a different time, go for a run, whatever. Like, I know this isn't going to stop it. We're trying to slow it. And we're trying to slow it because, again, treatments get better every month. Hospitals only have so much capacity. And by the way, I have friends that are small business owners. I have friends that are doctors. They both need to be taken into account here. And I understand that. And for the small business owners, look, it really does appear we're going to see a stimulus by the end of the year with the way the election currently looks. That's a good thing. Like, we want to see stimulus come down. And I pray it goes to small business owners as well as those other entities, let's say, around the country that need it. There's a lot of people that need it. And I know that. So, I don't mean to sound more socialist. Asking to wear a mask is not socialist, by the way, around COVID-19. I just am saying, hey, look, light is at the end of the tunnel in my mind. I think if we can weather this winter, these cold months, especially in the early months, we can get to March. I think we're going to be looking a lot better. And I think we're going to be nearing some sort of herd immunity, maybe not full herd immunity, but there will be far fewer vectors for this thing to spread, far fewer people that this is infecting to infect another person, whatever. It will slow. It will start to go away. And on that note, anything Joe Biden says that it was his doing that solved this COVID-19 thing, that's bullshit. There's a lot I could go into here on what I think he's saying versus like what I think he's going to say regarding like, you know, COVID or climate change or whatever, and think he's doing around this problem versus what he's actually doing. They're very different things. I don't think a president can actually change the outcome of COVID-19 at this point. I don't think there's anything he can do. I think local government, I think state government, really municipality-based governments can make an impact. Like I said, looking at the hospital, and making an adjustment to what is legal or the rules rather as a result of that. Beyond that, I don't know that we have much we can do. I mean, you know, Operation Warp Speed's on its way. A vaccine will probably be seen or realized in the near term. Climate change is kind of the same thing. Like, what are you going to do? Like, you can say that it exists, but that doesn't mean you have a solution. You can spend all the money you want, not change a damn thing. So I'm going to save the climate change rant for an entirely different podcast, because anybody that knows me knows I can go mega deep on that one. And it involves like a ski nonprofit. It involves money spending of them that it's just too much. It's too way too much. We're 20 minutes in. I'm stumbling over my words like Joe Biden. I had a concussion. Sorry, guys. I'm going to wrap this up here. I really appreciate everybody listening. I have a lot more I want to say in the coming days. I'll probably try to get one or two more of these out in the next, before maybe Sunday. If anybody has any topics they'd like me to get into, if anybody has a guest they want me to bring on the show, we can do a phone call. I'm down. Really enjoying this, and I appreciate everybody listening. Have a good night. Cheers.